Hey, Michael, are you ready for what's coming next?
The Big Bang Theory? A Barry Manilow concert?
No. Think bigger. Welcome to No Two Gays About It, the show for the over 50 gay male, all about things that are important to the over 50 gay male, and hosted by two men who are over 50 and gay. Hey, I'm Tom Burke.
And I am Michael Foley.
Apparently, over half of mature gay men, those are guys in their 50s, 60s, and 70s, have not prepared for or are not ready or planning for our so-called golden years. So today, first of all, we're going to look at what are those things that we should have in place or that we should be preparing for. And then we're going to discuss why is it that so many of us are not prepared, or why so many of us are procrastinating. And then finally, we're going to take a look and figure out what are those steps that we could be taking to get us on the pathway to being prepared and ready for whatever it is that life is going to bring to us. So join Michael and I as we start the conversation that so many of us should have started years ago.
But before we get started, hop on down your screen, click like and subscribe, and ring that little bell to get a notification when a new video drops.
All right, so big news in my house. My husband is retiring this week after 40-something years in the corporate world, which is great. However, it's about 2 years before we thought he was going to be retiring, so I'm not ready. You know, I'm that guy who likes everything planned, who likes making his lists, but like I said, I thought I had time. I thought I had 2 more years to get everything in order. I mean, we do have some things ready to go, but seriously, I am in this spiral of panic. So let me ask you, Mr. Foley, do you have all your ducks in a row?
Oh my God, my ducks are in so many different ponds, it's scary.
Yeah, right?
But I have one duck in a row.
Okay, what's that?
And that, a will.
Excellent, so, right? So that
is... myself a little credit for that.
You've got plenty of credit for that. That is one of the, you know, major things that we have to get in place as we're aging, because you never know what's going to happen. So yeah, a will. Great. But you know, one thing that since we have, with my husband, have started looking at Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid, and oh my God, I know that we have a lot of guys who are listening and watching to us all over this globe of ours, and I don't know what it's like in Australia or the UK or in Europe, but this Medicare, Medicaid thing is so confusing, you know?
I think they're a bit luckier in other parts of the world because a lot of places like Australia have socialized medicine, so it's something that pretty much, I think, just goes through the course of their entire life.
Right. Well, okay, so then that's awesome. But for us, you get to this certain age, it's 65, and you then have to all of a sudden switch over. Because, my husband's been working forever. He's had his insurance through his companies, and now he's going to switch over to this. But, you know, you get your Medicare, and then he's got a plan B, that's for the medications. And then there's plan G for, I don't know, whatever. And then you have to have your supplemental something. And it's really overwhelming.
And they deliberately make it difficult.
You think?
So that some sort of cover. Yeah, I do. Because, you know, when you get insurance as a single person, you know, you basically look at a plan, you get it, and everything's included. Your prescriptions, your doctor's visits, your deductibles, your co-payments is all there. It seems like Medicare is deliberately put together to make people jump through hoops that hopefully some things fall through the cracks.
Right.
That's from people I've talked to who have gone through the process. Like you just said, how many different plans are there?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Medicare B for prescription. Why isn't all included under one umbrella policy?
Yeah, I don't know. And that's the thing. I thought we had these 2 years to learn all about this stuff, but now all of a sudden it's like, okay, get thrown into it, which is probably why a lot of people put this off or procrastinate.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are some of the other things that we should have in place?
I just started looking at Social Security.
Yeah.
Because I know it's right around the corner, and our mutual friend Joe is dealing with it now, and he sort of lit a fire under me to at least, you know, look into it so I know what to expect, so it will be less overwhelming.
Yeah.
And he's been a great prompt for me my whole life. It's sort of poking me in the butt because I'm a procrastinator on things like this.
And these are important things. I too, you know, am now going on to whatever that site is and like putting in, okay, if I take it when I hit 65, or if I take it today, or if I take it at, you know, I think my whatever the top thing is at when you hit 70. And so my husband and I are trying to figure out, well, when should he take his, you know, should he take it now? Should we wait a while? What, you know, what's going to happen? Again, really confusing. And this is stuff that really we should have prepared before we get to this point. Which is great that you have, you know, your friend Joe to help you along through this. This also brings us to, you know, Social Security is something, for those of you that don't know, that pays money every month, but it's the money that you've been paying in your entire life. So it's not like it's free money.
When Republicans call it a, what is the word that they use? An entitlement program. It is such bullshit because we have paid into it.
Right.
I started working when I was 17.
Yeah.
So there's 40 plus years of payments that I've made into Social Security.
Sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's not free money. But again, it's something that we should already, in, at least in my head, like I should know all of this stuff before we start dipping in there. So I know how to work it out. Financial stability is a huge thing for me. This is one thing that I do have. This is one of my ducks that is standing right there in the right row. This is something that's been in the forefront of my head for years now. And I don't know if, I'm sure a lot of people are like me, where you're that constant calculation in your head. Okay, how long am I going to live? And am I going to outlive this money that I have, right? And so I'm like figuring it out. Okay, so my mom died when she was in her 60s. Oh, well then TikTok, you know. But then my dad was 84 and his father was 84. So I'm like, okay, so let's shoot for that 84 number. But then, you know, I'm healthy. So let's add some to that. And, you know, like, okay, so I'm good to go money-wise for whatever. And then you start reading. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure there are people like me who aren't.
Right.
You know, our financial stability is a little sketchy. So it makes life a little bit more challenging than it is for you in this particular moment in our lives.
Well, yeah. But of course, you know, everything is just relative to everybody. And, you know, I'm trying to figure out I'm reading everything. And, you know, you it says that 4% rule, you can take 4% of this money, that nest egg or whatever that you have. And I'm thinking 4%, like, if anyone knows me, I am not a 4% guy. I'm more of like a 40%, you know, I'm living that life, you know? So, okay. So how are we going to work this? So it's just crazy, but financial stability is definitely something that we need to have in place to know, are we going to be able to survive, or are we going to be living in boxes somewhere on a street, you know?
Yeah, and you know, 80%+ of Americans are in my situation where it's really tenuous that one major event can really destroy your life.
Right.
As you know it. And regardless of how much you plan or how much you try to save, you know, things right now are so much more expensive. So that adds another layer of stress to this age that we are at and looking to the future.
Which also brings us to another thing that we need to prepare for and plan for, and that is our health. You know, as you said, one thing could happen that could completely change and devastate, you know, all of the plans that you already have. Health is incredibly important, but it's also incredibly expensive. You know, one little thing could wipe you out. You know, which is
without a doubt. I mean, again, because, you know, if you go to the hospital to an emergency room and for a visit, and it's going to cost you $12,000.
Yeah.
You know, it's obscene. And again, it adds a level of stress to people our age because health is a big consideration and we're trying to figure out how to, you know, squeeze the most out of this body that we've been in for a really long time.
Right.
So,
which is also why so many men our age and older really should be preparing for that, those health issues, by really taking care of themselves now. You know, if you're in a healthy place right now, keep it up. Get out there, make sure you're exercising, eating correctly, you know, stop. We're not 20 and 30 anymore. So going out to the clubs every weekend and drinking and eating to excess, it's not helping what's coming
and
towards us.
You know, if you're able to add one thing a day, even if it's 15 minutes of some sort of physical activity, it helps in the long run. You know, and I think we were lucky to grow up in the 80s where there was such a fitness kick that it became so ingrained in who we were that for me, it's second nature now. If I am immobile for a day, I don't feel well.
Right.
And that's probably more in my head than it is anything else, but I feel like I do need to move. So we have to remind ourselves to do that because it does help in the long run.
So then, because we are children of the 80s, so then you put on your spandex in neon colors and do a little aerobics? Is that...
Lordy, I didn't wear spandex in the 80s. There's no way you would see my love handles pouring over spandex at this age. No.
I totally wore those neon...
Oh my God.
Spandex outfits to take aerobics classes with the big chunky socks. Yeah, I totally rock that.
Socks or leg warmers?
No, socks. Those are really chunky socks.
Okay, I just wanted to check because, you know, Olivia Newton-John flashes through my head with the leg warmers from the 80s.
Okay, well, I wasn't that gay back then. I mean, I was gay, but I wasn't wearing leg warmers. At least not to class, you know, to aerobics classes.
You just ran around the house with them, right?
Oh, totally. Yeah. Here's something that needs to be in place. Do you have someone who's your power of attorney?
No, and that is for me the one duck I have to get in the pond with the will.
Yeah.
Because for me, there's a lot of stuff attached to that.
What do you mean?
Because this may sound morbid, but if I'm in an incapacitated state, I want it cut off. I don't want to linger. I don't want to put friends through that. I don't.
Right.
I just don't. So I want somebody who has the ability to say, unplug it.
Well,
if that situation ever arises.
That is somebody completely different. You have your power of attorney who's in charge of all of other stuff, but then there's the medical power of attorney. That's a totally different person. So you have to have those two ducks in a row.
Well, then that duck is my next priority then.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, that there is so much to think about, and you might have your power of attorney, but you don't have your medical person. So yeah, they're going to keep you plugged in forever, you know?
Because I know you're more up on this than I am. So I appreciate you having this conversation. Is that a living will? Is that what's referred to as a living will, where it is related to health issues and somebody has the ability to make those decisions?
Well, you have to designate a person to make those decisions. Like, but you also have to have the DNR, you know, do not resuscitate thing. That's a really important thing.
Yeah.
If you don't want to be strung forever, and seriously, unless someone is coming in with a tweezer to like get off those errant hairs that are popping up and to be doing my hair and making me look like fabulous in bed, get me out of there. Cause I would be mortified, you know. I think, you know, back at my mom too, she died early and it was like an instant thing. She would not have been able to be one of those people in a nursing home at 99 years old with, you know, missing teeth and, you know, more power to those people, but my mom could never have done that. I don't think I could. I'm a little too vain for that, a little too, you know, we all know I am. But yeah, so those are like your DNR, there's also a thing, the five questions for hospital stays.
What is that?
I'm so sorry. I forget what those actually are, but there are things like that. Like, you know, do you want to pull the plug? Do you want to, you know, these are my five wishes. And if you have all of that stuff ready to go, if anything should happen, you know, whoever this medical power of attorney is, that they hear, here's all of the paperwork, let's pull the plug, you know. And if you need someone to pull the plug, I'm your guy.
And just so you know,
yeah,
I'm there for you too.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. I think I would enjoy a pillow over
my head. Thank you very much, yeah, Michael. Yeah. That's really kind of you.
I really want to be involved. I've told friends 1,000 times to do that to me. I'm like, put a pillow over my face.
Yeah.
It's like, don't push it down in the front because they can tell it leaves teeth marks.
I mean,
the Italian in me, I know these things.
Yeah.
It's like, you have to hold it on the side by the ears.
I have, you know, those packs with friends of mine. In fact, when I, in my 20s, I started a nonprofit and we did go to like some of the poorest nursing homes all throughout LA County. And we would see these people that were just dumped in these really disgusting homes. And we had this pack, like, if we are ever in here, please ground something up and put it into my insure so that I could just sleep away, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. But,
and I know people may think we're making light of this, but I think making light of this helps take the stress the weight of the situation. It makes it a little easier.
Sure.
So, you know, don't think we're being disrespectful or, you know, making errant jokes about this stuff, because we're not. It's just, it helps us process a little easier because we are approaching the end of the road and we got a plan for it.
Right. But also, you know, saying that with your friends, like, oh yeah, you're going to take care of me. Oh, I'm going to put you out. I'm going to put something in your Twinkies and you'll fall asleep. You know, it's easier said than done. When it actually is happening, no one's going to like step up and be doing that. That's why you do have to have all of this stuff in writing. You have to have all of this, you know, in your will, and, you know, all of that stuff really needs to be planned for and prepared for.
Yeah.
And it's crazy that so many of us don't have that. We're not ready. Why? Why do you think so many gay men, and as I read, over half of mature gay men are not prepared? Why do you think so many of us gay men have put this all off?
I can speak for me in this situation, and it's been something I've been looking at the last year really hard, and that is my experience through the 80s and 90s that I think I've carried with me. And again, we've discussed this on other shows, where it's a form of PTSD, where you just know you have today. So you try to live in the moment and be present, because I lost so many friends before the age of 30 that it's not something I would wish on anybody. And it really is amazing to me that every time you think you've reached a point where you've dealt with it completely, something else comes up. And that's a tough one for me. And I think that's a big part of the reason why I've never planned really far ahead. Because, you know, again, we've discussed this in previous shows too, where that specter is just sitting over your shoulder.
Right.
And it's hard to look at.
But then let me ask you, if you do feel like you don't have this big future, then wouldn't you have all of that stuff in place?
I do think a lot of people think, well, it's going to be somebody else's problem.
Really?
I have spoken to many people who, that's one of the reasons they don't think about it, because it's like, well, I'm not going to be here. So, I mean, somebody somewhere is going to take care of it.
Yeah, but
I think people who lived through those years and just saw what that does to a person. There's a whole lot of things that our generation, I think, doesn't look at completely, because it brings back those memories. I know it does for me.
Yeah.
And again, I can only speak for myself. But because another duck I need to get in a row is planning for what happens to my physical body when I do go, right?
Yeah.
So I want to get the cremation paid for out of the way. Stuff like that. So it's not a burden to other people in my life. And that, I don't think that's something people think of often either. I mean, I've joked with friends, I was like, put me in a hefty bag and leave me on a curb, I'm good. But the reality is, you know, you have friends who would never do that.
Right.
Right. So.
But you also have to make sure that you have friends that are going to step up. You know,
right.
I think another reason why a lot of gay men have not prepared is that whole Peter Pan thing. You know, so many gay men are, you know, just living this young, I'm young, you know, have this whole life ahead of me. And it's like, really, dude?
Which is an ironic juxtaposition considering where we came from in the 80s and 90s, right?
Right,
Where you were forced to look at your own mortality at a very young age.
Right.
And maybe that's part of the reason why now so many of us just go, I don't want to deal with it. Because I lived it. For 20 years, I lived it.
And well, I also think a lot of people have that mentality of like, well, if I don't see it, it's not happening. If I don't think about it, it's not going to be a problem. If I just, you know, or again, the whole procrastination thing, I'll think about that later. You know, when it happens, then I'll think about it. And then could be a little too late.
So how are you feeling about this new situation you've been thrust into with your husband, Scott, who's retiring 2 years earlier?
Right.
How is that weighing on you emotionally? How are you, like, do you want to stick your head in the sand? And do you want to just go, I'm going to deal with it tomorrow? Or how are you and him, like, working on that?
Right. Well, he's totally excited about the whole thing, which he should be. You know, yeah.
Absolutely.
He deserved to retire. Great. But I'm the guy who's like, okay, then I got to get it all figured out now. And I got to do everything, you know, and it that itself is overwhelming.
Yeah.
So then I get to that point of like, I can't do this. I'm going to think about this tomorrow because it's too much. Later on, we're going to talk about the steps to get out of that whirlwind. But that is kind of where I am now. Like, I'm really happy for him. I'm definitely not retiring yet. I'm far too young. I have some good years left. But I also love being active and working and doing that stuff. But I want it all done. I want everything finished and prepared. And I, because who knows? Seriously, who knows what's going to happen?
Seriously.
I think another reason why so many gay men are not really looking towards that, those golden years, those aging years, so many of us don't have children. And I think when you have children, you mark time differently. You know, you see the children aging and then they start having kids of their own. And so that just makes you aware of time, I think.
I also think they have a built-in caretaker mentality.
Oh,
right.
Yeah, right.
Because the kids become the parents at some point and then they wind up taking care of
Depends on the kids, you know,
and it depends on the parent.
Right.
Let's be real.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that is definitely something that people and, you know, friends of mine, we've all discussed of like, who's going to step up? Like I had asked you, like, who is going to be the one changing your diaper? Who's going to be pushing you around in the wheelchair? You know,
did you ever see what happened to baby Jane?
Yes.
Can I push you around in the wheelchair?
No. But even thinking like, it's not my niece's or nephew's job to take care of me when I'm older. Not that they would ever think that they would want to, because I know none of them would even have that in their head, you know? But I also have gay friends who have children who are like, yeah, my kid's not going to step up for me either, you know? But that is a thought of like, yeah, so I have a husband now. Who knows which one of us is going to stay healthier? Who knows which one of us is going to drop dead? You know, so we have each other to lean on at this moment, but there will come a point where one of us is alone, and then who steps up, you know?
Well, again, like you said earlier, you know, hopefully throughout our lives, we've developed close friendships.
Right.
And there's a caretaker aspect to my personality that it just is who I am. And I've experienced this throughout my entire life where that would be me. I would be at your house changing your diaper.
Oh, no. You know. No, you wouldn't. Yet, because
I
that,
would.
I would have that written down.
I know
down.
You wouldn't want it. Then
yeah,
that's
the thing. Like, I would write that down. No, but you know what you could do? You could hire the person to, you know, live in to take care of me. I mean,
like, a friend of mine was in the hospital for a very long time. And his family would do the day shift and I would do the night shift. I would get there at 11 and leave at 5 in the morning because that's what my schedule permitted. And he was in ICU, a big part of that. And, you know, I think my experience working for the Gay Men's Health Crisis and dealing with people who were terminally ill, I learned a lot. So if he was in this, I would clean his trach tube. I would change his diaper. I would do that because, again, the nurses are really overwhelmed and busy.
Right.
And they were grateful to have me there, I think, after the first couple of weeks, and they got to know me and realized the stuff that I was familiar with, because that is me. So I know you probably wouldn't want it, but I would do it. I would do it for any of my friends in a heartbeat.
Well, I appreciate that. And yeah, I mean, I too, well, obviously would step up and help anybody. But I also know that some people, like my mother-in-law, she did not want Scott or I to help in any way. So we had to hire a woman that would help her, or we had to hire somebody who could help her, you know, shower and like all of that stuff. So there are, you know, myself included, there are people who like, oh, I'm just so private and I don't want, you know, I would just feel so horrible. And
you're also in an incredibly vulnerable state.
Exactly.
And I know for a lot of us, we don't want people to see us there because as much of a caretaker as I am, and we discussed this recently too, it pains me to have people take care of me when I need it. But I'm learning to be better at that.
Which all of this is another reason why so many of us are not planning and preparing, because we think about like, oh, I can't think of anybody so then we don't move forward. We don't make the plan. We don't figure out, well, then what are we going to do? You know? There are so many different reasons. Another one, which because of so many gay men our age and older, you know, when you came out as being gay, your family was like, yeah, get out of here. We're done with you. Right. So they never really had a positive model to show what happens when somebody is older, you know, because from the time of 16 or whatever, they've been kicked out of their homes and they didn't get to see, well, who is taking care of my grandmother and how is that happening? Or how are my parents preparing for their future as older people? So without that, they weren't taught, you know, they didn't see that. So that's another reason why people are like, yeah, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Deal with it later, whatever.
Yeah, you're right. There were no role models for us, if that was our family situation, on how to prepare for the future.
Right.
Yeah.
Another big reason, which I read in this article, of why so many gay men aren't prepared, it's because of the career choices. So many gay men, again, you know, left home early. They didn't go to college. They didn't have that like pathway into, you know, business or lawyer or being a doctor. Many did, but they went into more of the arts, or they went into places that didn't have pensions, or, you know, this is how you should be saving in your 401k. Yeah. So they didn't have that opportunity to learn how to prepare for their futures, which sad, but you know, again, the past is the past and we have to think of today forward. So this is
and
where I am.
Don't beat yourself up. Not beat yourself up for things you haven't done.
Right.
Just try to do a little bit every day now to prepare you.
What are these steps that we can start doing today to get us prepared, to get us on the right pathway so that we are ready for whatever life will hand us? And I think the biggest thing that you just said is number one on the list should be, don't beat yourself up.
Seriously. Because we are where we are.
That's it, right?
And the only thing we could do now is to care for ourselves in this moment and the next day. And so the baby steps are hugely important.
Exactly, which is why I'm going to tell everyone about making lists. You know, I love making lists, but I find it so helpful when your head is overwhelmed with all of these thoughts and ideas, and write them down. You know, like I've got to find that, you know, my DNR. I've got to get somebody to be my whatever power of attorney, my medical power of attorney. Just start writing those things down. And then you get to make a whole nother list of like, all right, let's just talk about the power of attorney. Who are some people that I might be able to approach? Or where are these places that I can find what is a power of attorney? You know?
And the best thing about making a list is you get to cross stuff off of it when you're done.
Dude, I have written, made lists. I have added something to a list that I've already done just so I can scratch it off, because there is nothing better than crossing somebody thing off your list and be like, yeah, I accomplished that. You know, it's awesome. But yeah, definitely number one, do not beat yourself up wherever you are in your life. If you've got everything prepared except one thing, great. If you have nothing prepared, whatever, can't beat yourself up. Just keep looking forward. Don't look behind and start, as you said, making these baby steps. I feel one of the easiest baby steps is to just start making some lists. And as something you said to us earlier, you wanted to start thinking about Social Security. So what did you do? You called your friend.
Yep. Because he's going through it right now. Right. So what better teacher do I have than an ex-teacher who's, you know, working through Social Security and Medicare?
Well, that is definitely what my husband did. He called everybody he knows who has already retired and be like, hey, what is this plan G, plan B? That's really such a great place to start. And we're all in the same boat. You have to know somebody who has figured something out. So yes, calling your friends, talking to your friends, maybe they know somebody who can help you.
And let's say you don't. Let's say that you're uncomfortable talking to somebody about it. Like one of those two things is going on for you. We live in a wonderful age where you could literally Google any question you have and have access to answers. That's how I did a will. I went through LegalZoom.com. It honestly took me about 40 minutes, cost me $99, and bada bing, bada boom, I had a will.
That's awesome, right?
I mean, that's how easy it is now. We just have to allow ourselves the ability to access that. And again, it's baby steps.
And again, we are these gay men. A really great tool for us are gay centers. In every city has one, maybe not every city, but most of the major cities have them. But as you said, we're all connected now through the internet. Exactly. So you can go to them. They all have, I know that our gay center here, the one in LA, there's a national one, has this program called PALS, P-A-L-S.
PALS.
And it's preparing for the future. What are the things that you need to do? A lot. It's also all the different things that you have to prepare for and things that are happening to us as we're aging, including, you know, losing someone through death and mourning processes, but also figuring out what you need to do. Great. You know, it's a great program.
That is great. I didn't know it existed.
Yeah, that's a thing. All you guys have to do, we're all on our phones 24/7. And maybe that's your first baby step. Just start Googling, you know, gay centers, preparing for the future.
And again, no matter where you are, you could contact a center, like you said, in LA, in New York, in Houston, in Austin, anywhere, regardless of where you are, you could reach out to somebody who will be willing to help you.
And they all have these, because ever since COVID, they all have these virtual meetings. So you just go on Zoom and you get to be part of this, no matter where you are in the world, I think it's awesome. So definitely figuring this out, finding the people that do have the answers who can help you kind of get through this overwhelming, procrastinated, I'm frozen because I don't know what to do next.
It is overwhelming. Like I said, I know this is, it's conspiracy theory, which I don't normally play, but I really do think they make it more difficult than it need be. You know, it was like Hillary Clinton's healthcare law that was like 12,000 pages. Really? Yeah. Like, why do you need 12,000 pages?
Yeah, it's nuts. It's just nuts.
It's like if you're 65, you've earned it. You should be on Medicare. It should take care of your prescriptions. It should take care of everything you need. And you know what your copay is. Period. End of sentence. Like, why do you have to have 17 different plans in Medicare? And then if you have one, you're not allowed to have the other one, right?
Yeah.
Because Joe was telling me this and I was like, oh my God, that's crazy.
Yeah. So, you know, I think we all have to band together to help us each get to this end line, you know, to get prepared, because we're only as strong as our weakest member. And we as a community really have to help each other. We helped, as you said, we all fought for each other in the 80s. We're used to that. I think we now have to step up again. And for all those guys who do have all their ducks in a row, who are like, yeah, I'm smooth sailing to the end here, you are the guys who have to step up and kind of help the rest of us kind of figure it all out, you know?
And for those guys like me, you know, don't be afraid to ask questions.
Right.
I think that's hugely important. Just because you don't know something doesn't, you know, make you deficient in some way. It's just you don't know until you know.
Yeah.
And so if you have questions, ask them of somebody who's been through it. Like you said, call the Gay and Lesbian Center. Ask for help. It's there.
Or just even, I know, you know, we all want to go out to the bars or the clubs or do whatever and be all like wild and gay and drinking and having fun. But, you know, maybe you just have your friend group over and let's talk about this, you know?
Yeah.
Or go to brunch. And I don't know about you, Michael, but I go to these dinner parties a lot. And all of a sudden, the organ recital starts. You all know what I'm talking about. When everyone starts talking about their failing organs and the doctor's appointments and blah, blah, blah.
And what prescription drugs are you on?
Oh, my God, right? So if that's okay to talk about that crap, then I think it should be okay to have a conversation of like, oh, my God, I don't know what to do, guys. Like,
yeah, what if instead of having a book club, you start a retirement club and everybody has a conversation about...
There you go.
Where it is we're going, what our plans are for the future. And in a situation like that, it's great because you have people to hold you accountable. This is what we're going to do this week.
Yeah.
When we come back next week, let's make sure everybody went on LegalZoom and started a will.
Right. Yeah. And that's it. Like, just baby steps. You don't have to do it all in one day. You don't have to do it all in one week. Let's just do one little thing at a time.
Yeah.
But let's all help each other get there. And as I said, when I first started today, you know, Michael and I are just starting this conversation. And this conversation that we should have started when we were 40, but we didn't. We're here. We're not beating ourselves up. This is a conversation that's going to continue and continue and continue. I want all of you guys out there to help us out. Write to us. Leave us a comment on YouTube. If you're listening to or watching us on YouTube, first of all, make sure that you hit like and subscribe, but then leave us a comment. What are your plans? What are you lacking? What do you need help with? How did you figure this all out? Or send us an email or send us, you know, wherever you're listening to us on a podcast, leave us those comments as well. Let's all get into this conversation together and help us all get to the end.
Yeah. And for you guys who do have your ducks in a row, let us know how you did it.
Yeah.
Seriously, we need the help.
Right.
You know?
And the thing
we
is,
we should be there for each other at our age.
But the thing is, I'm not exactly sure that everybody has every duck in a row. Like I said, I've been preparing for this, but it just came a little faster. So I don't have everything prepared. So I'm pretty sure that everybody is kind of like, oh, yeah, I didn't think about that. Or, oh,
there's also, always one wandering duck.
There is.
At least.
Right.
I raised ducks when I was a kid, so it really was funny to watch them go in a row. And then there was that one who was like,
fuck you guys.
I'm over here.
Exactly.
You know, and then mom has to do the U-turn and come back and get it.
Right.
So
awesome. All right. So, Michael, tell everyone how they can contact us and send us their thoughts and whatever they think is really important.
Yeah. You guys could reach out to us on YouTube. You could reach out to us on Facebook. You could reach out to us on Instagram at the moniker No Two Gays About It. And you guys may also know that we are over on Patreon, where you can support us through monthly subscriptions that comes with major perks like bonus content, early access to episodes. And we're just announcing that we started a new tier last week. And you'll get to have a live Zoom talk with Tom and I once a month. And maybe you could school us on the stuff we need to know, because we need help. So if you guys are interested, hop over to patreon.com/no2gays about it and check out our new Forever Family tier that gives you exclusive access to a monthly chat. And while you're there, check out our other tiers as well and find something that, you know, you're able to do to help us stay on the air. And as always, we greatly appreciate your support. And we want to give a special shout out to the guys at our executive producer tier. And that is Ted Zalewski, David Tiley, and Jason Cruz. Thank you guys so much for your support and your trust in us. We hope to continue to make you guys proud.
Excellent. Yeah, thanks, guys. We really appreciate it. But we appreciate all of you who are listening and watching. You guys are the absolute best. We love all of your comments. I hope you see that we're commenting as much as we can. We're liking everything. So you guys are what's keeping us going. So thank you very much. And hopefully all of you will join in on this really important conversation about what's coming next.
Yeah.
All right. So that was awesome. Thank you very much, Michael. And until next time.
Thank you very much, Tom. And thank you guys for listening. See you next week.